Today on Real Life Radio.
Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge, listen, of the Holy One is understanding. The more you and I understand and read and ask God to show us the meaning of the Bible, God's word to us, our awe meter goes up.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Christian When All Else Fails, Part 1. You know, our series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 12, we'll consider how Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem and his ministry intensifies. You see, chapter 12 records the response of Jesus as he goes head-to-head with the religious leaders of that day. The scribes and the Pharisees were lying in wait for Jesus, trying to catch him saying something that they might then accuse him of heresy. But Jesus knew their hearts, and with absolute authority, he accused them of hypocrisy. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when all else fails, we need to rest in our God. And when we come clean by taking off our masks and face who we really are, God is there in our pain, and he's ready to forgive. But before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Christian When All Else Fails, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 3, the motives. Remember this, Christian. He knows our motives. And the beautiful thing about all that is the fact that God will forgive us. Listen, when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus at that Bema seat, the Bema, Greek, Bema seat, it's the Olympic judgment. It's gold. What is the Olympic thing? Gold, silver, and bronze? That's exactly what that word means. Everyone who stands there gets acknowledgement for what they've done. Nobody goes to hell at the Bema seat of Christ. It's all believers before the Lord in the end. But our motives will be checked. He says, whatever's been spoken in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Now watch this, and I don't want to belabor this. I don't have to belabor this. Have we ever said things in secret to somebody else that we ought not to have said? Don't lie in church. God is here. You have and I have. It's terrible to say it. But even if you were to say, well, you know what? I think he's this or she's that or whatever. What are we doing talking about that for? When we're done talking about somebody to somebody else, hopefully that somebody else that we were just talking about leaves the room blessed and excited and more honored about the person we were talking about. Did you know, for example, I'll brag about somebody right now that I just am impressed with his walk, and I was with him this week. You know Tony Perkins, he's been here a few times, president of the Family Research Council. You know that guy does not sleep past 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you know that guy? You can see him running out on the Washington Mall. He's disciplined physically, he's disciplined spiritually, he reads X amount of the Bible every, he's like a robot. And that's, you say, yeah, but he's an ex-Marine, that's why. You know what? He was a Christian before he was a Marine. And I love that. And I look at that. Listen, when we get done talking about somebody, it should be something like that. Hey, do you know Susie? Well, Susie, you can't find her not loving somebody. She's just loving on everybody. We need to be like that. Jesus said concerning everyone in the end. What? Jesus said in the end, attention, please. Announcement. Can you imagine? You say, Jack, this is terrifying me. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? And then if you ask the Lord to forgive you, he removes those things from us. Hallelujah. Don't conceal. The whole push is don't hide. Don't conceal these things. Take them to the Lord. He knows our motives. He's actually inviting the audience that he's speaking to by this truth. It is a doctrinal, biblical truth to come clean. Come on out. Come clean. Bring it to the surface. We could say, take off the mask. Jesus said it this way. Interesting. You would not normally connect this verse, but it is absolutely true nonetheless. It's Matthew 16:25. Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it of a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what profit would there be if a man would give it in exchange for his soul? What is he saying? If we put on this show to gain the approval of man, and in the end we are found to be untrue or hypocrites, we have exalted our own perception of people that we might look good in front of somebody. And we've prostituted our own lives to gain momentary acceptance. Jesus said that's called saving your life, governing it yourself, protecting it for yourself, living it for yourself, and in the end you'll lose it. But he says, if you take off the mask, are you with me? If you come clean on this, if you bring it out in front of the open, you lose your life, then you'll find it. And when you see this, when we see this, we will be humble people because we will be saying, you know what? There go I, but for the what? Grace of God. See, all of a sudden, we realize that we're on the same plane. We're in the same field. We are humans lost without God, but as Christians, we are saved, found, given life in him. Point number two this morning is this. Christian, when all else fails, verses 4-7, rest. We remember our God is all-knowing. Number two, we rest. Our God is in all places. Our God's everywhere. Omnipresent. Our God is everywhere. The attribute of God is that he's everywhere. That's an amazing thing that we have to take by faith. We can't feel it, see it, understand that, but think for a moment, isn't that evidence of God's presence? In my opinion, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. The Hubble telescope announces God's engineering. The electron microscope looking inside of a human body announces God's engineering. It's awesome. Remember this and rest in this. Our God is in all places. Voltaire. You guys, have you ever read anything of Voltaire? He was an interesting guy, Voltaire. He died. He drank himself to death. He was a mess. But Voltaire was an odd genius. I mean, he was a perverse, weird guy. He mocked God, claimed he didn't believe in God. But then Voltaire said this. He says, I cannot imagine how the clockwork of the universe can exist without a clockmaker. That's a powerful statement. There's evidence everywhere that God exists. Jesus is making this announcement. And it's easy for us in a classroom, by the way, or for right now to say, yes, yes, I believe that God exists. But Christian, rest in this fact. Rest in this fact that he's in all places and he's there in suffering and he's in our suffering. Listen to what Jesus says, verses 4-5. He says, and I say to you, notice who he's talking to. My friends, will you circle that? You say, Jack, I don't write in my Bible. Well, today's a great day to start. Circle my friends. Who? What? Jesus is saying, look, it's written in red. My friends. This is the voice of Jesus Christ. Written in red. My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more or that is no more power that they can do anything else. Verse 5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Jesus is not saying that the Father is up in heaven with fangs and a fly swatter waiting to knock you out. Jesus is announcing that God has absolute authority and he has the final word. And that hypocrisy will lead a person to total destruction. That God's the final judge. He says, my friends, in the midst of such powerful, convicting statements, please mark it. And I pray that you grab this. You say, oh, that's so terrifying. Notice he says, my friends. He doesn't want you and I to be in that lot of missing the, what's called the fear of the Lord. He wants us to be in awe. The word does not mean to be afraid. I told you before, when I was a little kid growing up, when I was really terrified about something, you know, there's the word scared and there's the word afraid. I would always say, I'm a scared. That's super terrified, I guess. To be in awe, it's not the fear of, like roller coasters, I think were made by Satan. That is wrong. That's the wrong kind. That kind of fear is not what we're talking about. The fear of the Lord is a reverential, awe-inspiring wonderment. I'm trying to think of just on earth, the things that have grabbed my attention where you just sit there and kind of drool in awe. The Grand Canyon. You ever been there? I remember my brother took me there for the first time. He blindfolded me with his hand, walked me up to the edge, because you know you can't see a thing when you're driving up to it. It's a bunch of trees and stuff. And we pull up there. He goes, okay. All right, look. And it looked fake. That is one gigantic hole. And it looked fake. It took me so long to even begin to realize, man, it's X amount of miles that way and this way and deep. And the second thing I remember just being mesmerized, that's a good word by, oh, wow, was to be behind the waterfall of Niagara. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? And you get to go behind the falls. Isn't that weird? You go down to the ground, go underneath the river, and then come out and look through a hole, a big hole, it's a cave, and you're watching about 10, 20 feet away from you, you're watching the backside of the waterfall go down. And I gotta tell you, it was a weird feeling. You just stand there in shock, kind of. It's like, what? That's the slight hint of the awe that you and I should be regarding the Lord. And do you realize, I'm going to confess this for you and I. I don't think we have that awe. I think we're too distracted by all kinds of other things that's going on that awe us instead. The angels could go to the World Series, maybe. What? Or did you see how fast that airplane went by? Or that we let things woo us that don't even matter. But to gaze into the awesomeness of God, we don't get it almost, you know? It's amazing. Well, listen, suffering. None of us sign up for suffering. We don't want it. But Jesus says, in the midst of all these things, what should the believer take out of verses 4 and 5? God is all-powerful. In the midst of all these things, we should be in awe of him, because if we are in awe of him, we will fight away. We will seek to crucify hypocrisy in our lives, because you know what? Hypocrisy, in a sense, sticks out the chest in the presence of God. Hypocrisy says, God and I are buddies. You cannot be a buddy with God. You see, Jackie says friends. This is a holy thing. Jesus invites us and calls us friends. It's not some sort of backslapping contest. This is a serious but holy and precious thing. Jesus says, you're my friends. I call you friends. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge, listen, of the Holy One is understanding. The more you and I understand and read and ask God to show us the meaning of the Bible, God's word to us, our awe meter goes up. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the habitations of the world stand in awe of him. By the way, Psalm 33 is an announcement of the millennial kingdom of Christ. That's not happening yet. It's going to happen. Can you imagine? That's going to be awesome. The world. In fact, doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah, the trees of the field will clap their hands? You say that's silly. Trees don't have hands. Their leaves, have you ever heard a wind blow through the trees and it rustles? Rustles? Is that the right word? When it blows like that? The Bible says when Christ returns, the trees are going to clap their hands. They're going to just, the Bible says, this ought to be great for California and Nevada, Arizona. It says the deserts will bloom and blossom when Christ returns. What else will happen? When Christ returns and his kingdom is established, the earth will stand in awe of him. That's going to be amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Here's a cool little reminder of that. When Moses encountered the Lord, when Moses there hid his face from the Lord, Exodus 3:5 says, God spoke to him and said, "Do not come any closer, Moses. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moses was God's friend. But God says, "Moses, I am awesome. You can't come any closer, Moses. Not in that body, not in this world. You can't come any closer than that. Stay there." You ever think about him like that? Lord, you are so amazing. You are so awesome. In the midst of suffering, he's there. Are you a Christian this morning? Don't jump up and down. Don't raise your hand. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you struggling? Are you suffering under something, anything that's got your attention? God knows. You see, if he knows, what he's going to do something about it. He is. But who am I? Who are we to tell him what to do about it? "Well, now, God, I got this situation. I'm going to tell you what you ought to do." That's ignorance, that's not understanding him, and that's certainly not being in awe of him. And I know that's easy to say right now, while I'm relatively healthy standing here. You know, people, when we're sick, we tend to call the shots. Have you noticed when someone's really sick, they don't call any shots? Have you noticed that? When we're kind of uncomfortable, "I want this, I want that, bring me some soap, close the window. We are a nuisance, man. You know what, I wish you were feeling better or die, one or the other, you're driving me nuts." When we're kind of wounded, sick, we're a real pain. But have you ever been around when someone's dying? Believe me, they're not saying, "Open the window, I want soup." Oh no, they're not saying much. All that's us passed away. They're getting ready to meet their God. It's a holy thing. The flesh is waning. The spirit is increasing. In the midst of suffering, he's there. He's promised to be there. He cannot go back on his word. And I don't care how you and I feel. I don't feel him with me in my suffering. He has vowed to be there, believer. He's with you. And he's speaking to us. John Knox said, great word, "A man with God is always in the majority." One of the things about suffering is that you feel alone. Don't you feel alone when you're suffering? "Oh, that someone was with me suffering. I could relate. They could relate to me. I could relate to them." That's why those of you, I tell you what, I never want a doctor who's never suffered. They're the worst doctors. I don't want a nurse who's never suffered. "Oh, what's wrong with you? Roll over, I'm gonna give you a shot." But when a nurse or a doctor has suffered, what's the word? They are what? They're compassionate. It helps when the nurse comes in and says, "Jack, you're not gonna want this. This is really gonna hurt. I'm gonna pray for you while I do this." Oh, man. But when they come in the room and say, "Yeah, well, it's going to be a little uncomfortable." Let me tell you something right now. If a doctor tells you it's going to be a little uncomfortable, you better pray hard. Compassion. Our God's compassionate in the midst of suffering. Be in awe of him. I believe, I hope I'm wrong, but if I understand the Bible right, if the world is going the way that it's going, we need to pray every day more and more, "Lord Jesus, come back today." Because do you realize the consequences? If he doesn't come back soon, we could very well die for our faith in the next 5, 10, 15, 25 years. Our children, our grandchildren. The Bible speaks about a time when there'll be persecution going on around the world. You say, but Pastor Jack, isn't the rapture going to happen? We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. I hope it happens right now. But what if it doesn't? Are you ready to die for Christ? He will be there in the suffering. He'll be there. Rest. Verse 6. He's in all places, Christian, so we can rest. He's there in the pain. Are not five sparrows, note this, church, watch this. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Be careful, church, listen. The answer is yes and no at the same time. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? Yes, the answer is yes and no. They actually sold, watch this, they sold for a sacrifice for the offerings and for food. They, for one quarter, well, we'll say pence or farthing. For one quarter, you got two sparrows. For a half, you got five. You say, what kind of math is that? Watch. For one quarter of a farthing, you got two sparrows. Well, who would eat a sparrow? This is the extreme poor. Jesus is speaking about the extreme poor. I mean, this is worse than buffalo wings, you know? If you lay down a quarter farthing, you get two sparrows. Jesus said, are not five bought for half? No. Technically, you get four. You pay for four of them. So valueless were they, sparrows, that in the culture of Jesus Christ, they threw in the fifth one for free. They were considered such nothing, little things to eat. Can you imagine taking a sparrow and dipping them in sparrow dipping sauce? It's just bones. So a quarter farthing, you get two. For a half, you get five. Five. The announcement is sparrows, viewed so common among men, barely worth a thing, God cares. Church, listen, God cares for the little birds. You say, well, that's amazing. But why do you and I are so much easier prone to embrace the fact that he loves all the little animals and he loves Bambi and he loves all the little birdies and all that stuff, but we doubt his love for us? What's wrong with us? Did you know we're insulting God when we do that? Yes, he loves the birds. He doesn't love the birds more than us. We're crazy. We're crazy people, humans. We wind up sacrificing everything. I don't mean you and I, but people, humans, strap themselves to a boat and ram into a freighter trying to save a whale. They'll get in between, you know, to save an animal. Look, the Christian should protect animals more than anybody in the world, but to what cost? Jesus says, keep this in mind. A little bird, which in the eyes of men have no value, God loves you more, Christian. God loves you more. In the midst of all this thing of life's hardballs that it throws to us and pitches that it hits us with, in the pain of it all, God loves us. Five sparrows sold, Jesus says, listen, not one of them is forgotten before God. That is amazing thing. Is that a hyperbole on Jesus' part? Impossible. Is he making this up? Impossible. God cares. Some of you need to hear this morning. If God cares about them, why not you even more? Matthew 10:31 says exactly that. Matthew 10:31 says, do not fear, therefore. Don't be terrified. You are more valuable than many sparrows. God loves you more. St. Augustine said, God loves each of us as if we were the only ones. God loves us as if we were the only ones. I like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Christian When All Else Fails, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you to get your hands on the latest copy
of Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell and his son Sean McDowell. This is a great reference work. It is big. It's over 750 pages. Don't let that scare you, my friends. It's a reference book. You're going to want to own it. You're going to want to have it nearby. When something is challenging or you want to know something or somebody said Jesus never rose from the dead, there's no evidence, I tell you what, grab this book, turn to chapter, section, get educated, and get excited. Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh and Sean McDowell.
Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.